This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. It is a Thursday, 23rd of March, the first day of the holy month of Ramadan. Going to begin with our top story this morning, which is, of course, the Federal Reserve raising interest rates again overnight and the UAE Central Bank immediately following suit. Going to get some local reaction to that story. Plus, our interview with Keith Fitzgerald. He's based in Seattle in the United States. He's an investor. He's the principal with the Fitzgerald Group. What else have we got for you? Real estate, again, big angle related to that interest rate hike. John Lyons of Espas Real Estate, going to get his thoughts. And finally, the price of truffles. 50,000 dirhams a kilo in Dubai at the moment. Can you believe it? It's doubled over the past year. Going to get the thoughts of Massimo Vidoni, founder of an importer called Italtouch and known very much as Dubai's truffle man. All that to come. First up, though, let's dive straight into that interest rate story. Right, let's get more detail on our top story. Overnight, the Federal Reserve, as expected, increasing interest rates by 25 basis points. Lots of questions at the press conference afterwards for Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, the chairman of the Fed. And he was asked why, given the fact that there's a banking crisis arguably unfolding at the moment, did you feel the need to raise interest rates? Well, he said fighting inflation is the main priority. That's why we're doing it. But he did acknowledge what's happening in the banking sector at the moment. This is what he had to say.
So we also assess, as I mentioned, that the events of the last 2 weeks are likely to result in some tightening of credit conditions for households and businesses and thereby weigh on demand, on the labor market, and on inflation. Such a tightening in financial conditions would work in the same direction as rate tightening. In principle, as a matter of fact, you can think of it as being the equivalent of a rate hike, or perhaps more than that. Of course, it's not possible to make that assessment today with any precision whatsoever. So our decision was to move ahead with a 25 basis point hike and to change our guidance, as I mentioned, from ongoing hikes to some policy firming may be appropriate.
We spoke to investor Keith Fitzgerald earlier on in Seattle in the United States. He told us he thinks it was a mistake to raise interest rates. We'll hear more from him a little bit later on. Let's get some local perspective now. Ed Bell of Emirates NBD was watching it closely. He's the senior director of market economics. And I asked him why, given that the Congressional Budget Office in the United States predicting US GDP growth of barely 0.1% this year, why, in such a weak economy, would they continue raising rates? This is what Ed had to say.
The Fed hiked policy rates by 25 basis points last night, and that brings the upper bound of policy rates in the US to 5%. Clearly, what the Fed is stressing is its fight against inflation, even amid the noise and the stress we're seeing in financial markets. When we dig into the statement that the Fed released, it said that inflation remains elevated while a lot of the economy was still running at a robust pace, particularly the labor market. So overall, they still think from a macro fundamental point of view that the U.S. economy can endure the higher rates. But of course, the Fed could not ignore what was happening in markets, and they noted in their commentary that the kind of stress that we're seeing in financial markets means tighter credit conditions. So it's almost sort of a behind-the-scenes level of interest rate tightening that is happening. Although the degree of how much tightening is happening is pretty uncertain. The Fed also kind of changed its outlook as to where rates go going forward, saying that some additional policy firming may be appropriate. They used to say ongoing increases in rates was the likely path for interest rates going forward. So markets are sort of parsing through that and trying to decide what that means if we do get another string of interest rate hikes going forward.
So what does it mean for us here in the UAE? Tom and John Lyons had a fascinating conversation about mortgage rates, home lending rates. This is Ed Bell.
Central banks in the GCC did follow the Fed with hiking rates in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, and Bahrain. So for the UAE, that means that the base rate from the central bank has gone up to 4.9% effective as of today. What that's going to mean as it passes through to the economy is higher interest payments for any kind of floating loans, so mortgages, car loans, in corporate borrowing that companies might have to finance investment or plants, operations, those kind of things. All of that becomes much more expensive to finance, and that can add to a cooling effect on the domestic economy.
Ed Bell of Emirates NBD. Now, it is, of course, the first day of the holy month of Ramadan with the Business Breakfast. So we're looking at the business implications of this. And, of course, retailing, food retailing in particular, does change during the next 28, 29 days. We've been getting the perspective of Bernardo Poloiro, who's the chief operating officer at Majid Al Futtaim Retailer, which means he runs Carrefour, not just in the UAE, but in the wider region. And we asked him very simply, how do things change during Ramadan this week compared to, say, last week?
All data showing that food grows by more than 15%. And within food, especially fresh food, becomes much more relevant. And so we saw an increase on both the traffic to our stores, as well as on the basket, how much people are shopping with us, of more than 35%. And for example, yesterday, we saw an uplift of more than 50% as people are getting prepared to the first day of Ramadan.
So what people are buying changes, but also how and when they shop is changing. What does that mean for Carrefour, and how do you adjust your shifts, the people working at Carrefour, to accommodate that?
We see a slightly change on the behaviors of customers visiting us. Frequency increases, average basket, how much they are spending also increases. And we see mostly in the morning and then in the afternoon, later in the afternoon, people getting prepared for going back and obviously preparing their iftars to their families and their beloved ones. We adjusted our schedules, our operating hours. We extended the operating hours, giving especially at night, on evening, more time for people to come to retail stores, to Carrefour stores. And so we adjusted our scheduling with our colleagues at the stores, but also online, according to this behavior.
Bernardo Poloiro of Carrefour. Right, Serena Kelly's with us in the studio this morning. SK, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
And Ramadan Kareem. Let's look in a bit more detail at some of the stories that you and the team at the ARN News Centre are covering, starting with Dubai Police.
So they've revealed some interesting figures. As many as 1,195 vehicles were confiscated in Dubai last year for illegal engine modifications and causing a disturbance. So Dubai Police also issued a total of 4,533 fines for similar offences. This was last year. Meanwhile, since the beginning of this year, 2023, Dubai authorities have seized 250 vehicles and fined 327 motorists for illegal engine modifications again, and they've impounded 19 vehicles. They fined 230 others for causing a disturbance or what they call noise pollution. The penalty for illegal vehicle modification is a 1,000 dirham fine, 12 black points, and the vehicle impounded for 30 days.
Thanks very much indeed. Now, looking overseas, concerns in the United States over what?
A drug-resistant and harmful fungus, which apparently is spreading rapidly through health facilities in America. So researchers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported the fungus. They're concerned because many patients are in hospitals and elderly care homes. It's a type of yeast called Candida auris. Healthy people, not at risk, but it can cause severe illness in people with weakened immune systems and lead to fatalities as well. There are concerns about a sharp rise in people being diagnosed with it, its resistance to common treatments, hence the concern. So US cases nearly doubled in 2021 from 756 to 1,471. And nationwide, there were 2,377 clinical cases in 2022. But how does it work or transfer, so to speak? Contact with affected patients, contaminated surfaces or equipment. Most common symptoms are fever and chills that do not improve after treatment. So it is one to watch. Last year, the World Health Organization included it on its list of fungal priority pathogens.
Staying in the United States, Serena, this is a depressing story. A school in Alabama is testing out a prototype. What is it?
It's for bulletproof shelters for classrooms. So it's an elementary school in Coleman, Alabama. They're piloting the bulletproof panic room that could be built into classrooms. So basically, it's laid flat against the wall and it's multi-purpose. So you can use it as a whiteboard. But then if a threat enters the school premises, the teacher can actually pull it out. So it creates a square type box. And then there's no handle on the outside. So the teacher and students can enter inside, close the door and it can only be opened from the inside. And this, it's made out of bulletproof material. Now, according to the company that designed them, KT Solutions, one rep said they made the prototype because of that tragedy at the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. But they do hope this is something that they will go out of business for, because they just hope that bigger, deeper issue concerning gun control can actually be fixed within the country. But yeah, the video footage that is available is fascinating, how it works. It can be pulled out within 10 seconds.
Serena, thanks very much indeed. Very quickly, before we let you go, the world's most popular musician has been revealed.
Yes, Guinness World Records revealed who currently holds the title of statistically the most popular musician on the planet based on monthly Spotify streams. So I've got the top six for you. Any guesses? Any names that you feel might be in the top six as the world's most popular musician?
I'm going to go with English language music because it's what I know best.
Yep.
I'll go with Taylor Swift.
She's number four. Tom, any guesses?
Give me another one.
Drake.
Drake.
Nope, not on the list. Now, number six, Ed Sheeran. Five, Rihanna. Four, Taylor Swift. Three, Shakira. Two, Miley Cyrus. Number one,
Beyonce.
Nope, The Weeknd.
Huh? The Weeknd.
Yeah, based on statistically the most popular musician on the planet based on monthly Spotify streams. The Weeknd has 111.4 million monthly listeners.
Serena Kelly, thank you very much indeed.
More details on the Air and News Centre app.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
So as expected, the Federal Reserve raising interest rates overnight. Let's hear from Jay Powell. This is why.
The intermeeting data on inflation and the labor market came in stronger than expected. And really, before the recent events, we were clearly on track to continue with ongoing rate hikes. We are committed to restoring price stability, and all of the evidence says that the public has confidence that we will do so, that we'll bring inflation down to 2% over time. It is important that we sustain that confidence with our actions as well as our words.
Let's get some reaction now. Keith Fitzgerald is the principal at the Fitzgerald Group, joins us live. Morning, Keith.
Hello there and good morning.
Or good evening, I should say to you, because you're in Seattle on the west coast of the United States. What did you make of first of all, the decision to raise rates?
Well, I tell you what, I'm just one individual, but I think it's the wrong move at the wrong time. You know, the fact that the chairman came out and said he has the American confidence, you know, I'd love to see what numbers he's reviewing, frankly, because everybody I talk to on Wall Street, off Wall Street, on Main Street, does not share that viewpoint. And in fact, thinks the Fed is making a terrible mistake by destroying millions of hardworking people's lives and savings.
So why do you say that? Talk me through your logic. I agree with you, by the way, but talk me through your logic.
Well, the logic is quite simple. You know, I believe that the Fed is continuing to try to raise rates because it does not understand that its models are broken. It does not understand modern financial theory, and it can't admit it's wrong. So what we've got is a situation that is akin to putting blood in the left arm and taking it out of the right. There's really no change as long as our government continues to spend money. The very definition of inflation is more dollars chasing the same amount of goods and services. We actually have less goods and services, so it's compounding the problem.
So what would you do instead?
Well, I tell you what, you know, I'm a businessman. If I were in charge of the Fed, I would pause. I would reassess what's going on. I would put a detailed examination in place to figure out why the models aren't working, exactly what needs to happen to prevent them from breaking down again. And then I would speak directly to the American people about how we're going to fix this and why we are really going to make an effort at it, not just talk with the usual catchphrases and pabulum.
Okay, so for better or worse, rates have risen, and they're raising here in the UAE as well because we're pegged to the US dollar. So our central bank followed suit within minutes of Jay Powell making that announcement. As investors, and you advise investors, how do we play this? This is the reality. This is the hand we've been dealt. How do we play it?
Well, that's actually the interesting part, because situations like this, history is very clear about it. It shows that this is one of the few advantages where individual investors actually can capitalize on the chaos. Things like energy are not going to go away anytime soon. They are tremendously inflation resistant and recession resistant. If we have big tech, for example, that is not going back in the bottle either. That is going to be with us for many, many, many decades to come. In fact, I would submit that big tech, specifically Microsoft, Apple, companies at that level are going to be comparative safe havens because they've got powerful margin protection, products that can change the world, and clients are running to them, not away from them.
So, well, let's take Microsoft, one of the stocks you mentioned there, and of course it's on your doorstep in Seattle. Share price peaked back in 2021 at $336. It's now $272. Is that a buy at the moment, would you say?
Well, I personally own a rather large slug of it. I hope I'm smart enough to buy more. So yes, I do think it's a buy. I'm playing 3 to 5 years out. I think $350 a share is reasonable, particularly when the Fed blinks or at least pauses. I think they're going to reach that point in June or July when they have to admit they're wrong, because the mountain of evidence continues to build that they are.
Would you be buying the tech sector in general and buying big tech, fangs, call them what you will, or is it very stock specific? The other one, of course, on your doorstep is Amazon, based in Seattle, but many others on the West Coast. Brandy Scott is currently in San Francisco at the moment. If you go a little bit further south from where you are, would you have your checkbook out?
Well, I tell you, I'd have my checkbook out for Apple. I would have a firm pass on Amazon. I don't own that one. I think it is not the same since Bezos stepped out and Jassy stepped in. You've got to be very, very selective, because not all big tech is the same. To borrow a term from Peter Thiel, you can't just go N+1 and improve an existing business, which is what Amazon did when it came to the forefront. You've got to go 0 to 1, which is what Apple's doing, which is what Microsoft is doing. You've got to change the world, and you only get a shot at doing that once.
So outside of the tech sector, what are you liking at the moment? You mentioned energy there. Are you a buyer of energy stocks at the moment?
I am. Chevron is another key holding of mine, and that's one I look to add to and reinvest in, because there you're talking about not only petroleum products, but you're talking about a spectrum that spans the globe, quite literally and figuratively, in all forms of energy. So it's not just dinosaur juice, for lack of a better term. It is everything from fusion to algae to wind to solar. People don't understand just how far forward thinking that particular company is. So anybody thinking just in terms of petroleum is missing what I would submit is a very respectable future set of profits.
Now, I'm nervous about holding those kind of hydrocarbon companies, as I would call them, in my portfolio for my retirement. I'm 50. Let's say I retire in 20 years' time. I get that they're very profitable today. But with energy transition happening, it's not going to happen overnight, but it may well happen in my lifetime. Am I right to be concerned, or are my fears misplaced?
Well, I couldn't obviously tell you your fears are misplaced, because fear is very real. Everybody has it. I have my own set. The question I would respectfully ask you to think about is, you know, we are going to need energy. The only question is in what form. Scientists I've spoken to, even the most aggressive of them, estimate that it's going to be decades before we can transition away from petroleum into electric, into solar, into all these other things. Meanwhile, we've got to continue to develop those technologies, and they're getting more and more sophisticated and more and more attractive by the day. So to me, it's not an on-off switch, pardon the pun. It is, in fact, a continuum, something you've got to think continuously about, because the reality situation is when we're, you and I, both 70 and 80 and 90 years old, we're still going to need to turn the lights on. We're still going to need fresh water. We're going to still need to get from point A to point B. So energy, as far as I see it, is going to be needed.
What about dividend-paying stocks at the moment? And I know energy companies traditionally are, and dividends is something you look at very, very closely. Where do you see good dividends at the moment?
Well, energy is certainly one place because, again, you know, you want to pair this with products and services the world can't live without. So water companies are great. Energy companies are great. Typically medical development companies, things like Pfizer, for example, Gilead, those are companies that continue to produce large amounts of growth, large steady cash flow over time. Chevron, of course, is a key one. So it's a sign of continuity in what you know is likely to happen as opposed to what might happen. So dividends to me. Dividend stocks show that they traditionally fall less, they stabilize first, and ironically enough, they tend to recover fastest when the markets do get onto a good foot again, and they will.
20 seconds left, crystal ball gazing, this time last year, next year, when we're speaking in March of 2024, where do you think interest rates will be headed, higher or lower?
Oh my goodness, I am not smart enough to figure out. I'm going to have to watch your show.
Look forward to it, Keith. Appreciate your time. Thanks for staying up late to speak to us. That is the voice of Keith Fitzgerald, investor based in Seattle.
Investments go up and investments go down. Before putting your hard-earned money into any investment, Dubai I 103.8 advises you to always do your own background research. Ensure you're informed to navigate the market and any potential pitfalls.
Great guy, Keith. I follow him on Twitter @Fitz_Keith.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Right, we've got John still with us here in studio. John Lyons is the Managing Director of Espace Real Estate. We're taking a look at the impact of that Federal Reserve continuing to raise their interest rates. Yeah, I know it's an American story, but it is having an impact here because whatever the Fed does, because we're pegged to the dollar, it prompts a reaction here in the UAE, and that's certainly what we've seen to date. So if you've got any questions, feel free to get them in to us, 4001. Rich in Abu Dhabi asks this one, John. Why would anyone out there fix their mortgage payment whenever rates are peaking?
I think the answer to that is because it gives them certainty of what they will be paying every month for the next 3 or 5 years. And a lot of people would rather have the certainty of knowing what's going to happen rather than the uncertainty, going to bed every night thinking that things can change quite dramatically. This time 4 weeks ago, there was a lot of people thinking that probably it would be a 0.5% hike and the global banking crisis wasn't even discussed. And now it is. And now the hike came in at 0.25, and some people think that was a mistake. So things can change dramatically over a short period of time. We've seen that. And also, there's no guarantee that this is the peak for rising interest rates. It probably is, but it might not be. The Fed have done a pretty good job of getting quite a lot wrong over recent years, initially thinking this time last year that inflation was transitory, and they kept pushing that point for a long time before eventually retiring the word. So it's just an example of how, while we think rates are peaking, we cannot be absolutely sure. And a lot of clients that we deal with, they like to fix their rate because they know what they're dealing with. They can now plan their family finances for many years into the future, and they feel comfortable going to bed at night knowing what they're paying.
Dawn, on a similar subject, getting in touch, saying, yeah, take your point, but I don't think I would fix it at the moment, as I'm sure it's going to drop in the next 5 years. Fair comment?
I think it is a fair comment, and most likely it may even start dropping by the end of this year. It may start dropping next year quite significantly, but again, we don't know that for sure. There's a lot of things that we have thought would happen that has not actually happened, and therefore people being able to fix their rate now gives them that certainty where they live in their family home and they know that the biggest fixed cost that they probably have in their life, they know what it's going to be. But of course, there will be plenty of people out there that decide to look and forecast what interest rates are going to do. And if that's, you know, if they feel comfortable with that forecast, then taking a variable rate might be a good option.
Another one's come through. Please put your names with this one. All good points. Love to hear from you. Saying, I've never really understood why mortgage advisors always push fixed rate mortgages when the bank makes you roll onto a higher rate variable rate. You can get a better variable rate now, which is cheaper over the next 10 to 15 years.
Again, it's just that certainty. I took a 5-year fixed rate mortgage last year. I paid a premium for that 5-year fix, but that's because we were early on in the cycle and I didn't know how it would play out, and I wanted the certainty of what I'm paying for 5 years. But yes, there are other options. There's over, I think, 15 different banks offering over 100 different mortgage products, and the different products there have to be analyzed, and you have to decide your appetite for risk and then decide which one makes most sense for you.
Got another one that's sort of more an opinion on the market, a market watch, a bit of a market analysis from one of our listeners out there listening into our interest rate discussion, saying, yeah, agree to a degree, but tell him, we're not going to tell John this, but I will discuss it with John, that's for sure. Increase in real estate is being driven by specific segments of people from specific markets. And I personally don't believe that it's a significant increase in what I call mileage buyers as a result of the current interest rates at the moment. I'm taking mileage buyer to being buy to live. Is that right? And he's maybe making the suggestion, he or she, whoever sent this in, making the suggestion that we've got people coming in that may not be long-termers.
We are seeing people coming in for sure, but that's a low percentage of the business that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So some of these countries where they're experiencing very challenging times at the moment in Europe, yes, they're coming here, but it probably makes up less than 5% of our business. A lot of the activity that we do is with resident residents of Dubai. It's people that have lived here for a long time. A lot of people who are tenants, they've maybe been tenants for many years and they're fed up with the increase in rent. And they realize that they can get a mortgage at a very competitive rate. As I said earlier, the rates are becoming more competitive today than they were just 4 weeks ago in the five-year fixed product. In the three-year fixed product, it's gone up a little bit. 4 weeks ago, you could get 4.69%. Now you can get 4.89%.
Final one, I'm going to bring Richard Dean into this one as well, because I know he's got an opinion on it. Demi's come through and Demi says, look, can you guys please advise, why are we still pegged to the US dollar? And at what stage of US interest rate hikes possibly affecting our local flourishing real estate market would it be necessary to de-peg? Discuss.
After you.
40 years of stability is not given up overnight.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that it's one of the most important factors in the economy here, and it's been fixed for a long time. And the question would be, why remove the fix? I'm not sure what the argument would be to remove the fix. It doesn't really make sense to me why you would do that.
Thanks also to you all for your comments. AJ has been just in touch as well, saying, yeah, completely agree with John. Variable all the way. I took a variable rate for 2020. And yes, there's a bit of pain, but overall, I feel I've done and will do better. Thanks very much indeed for that one, AJ. And thanks very much indeed to Mr. John Lyons as well. John, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
John's the Managing Director of Espace Real Estate, joining us every fortnight to discuss all things, well, you guessed it, real estate.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Size Business Breakfast.
Right, this one needs context. Context was yesterday, Bloomberg, Dini, season article written by Lisa Fleischer from Bloomberg, saying this. Well, the headline reads, demand for truffles in Dubai is soaring. Here's the man to call. And I went, oh, hang on, I know him. I'll give him a call. So I gave him a call. I'll give him another call. I'll give him another call. Then I'll give him another call. And then just with about 10 minutes to go at the show, he gets in touch with us and says, oh, Tom, I'm really sorry. I'm in a plane and I was asleep and I couldn't see the messages. And now I can see your messages. So apologies, but I'll speak to you tomorrow. And we've been able to track him down. So it's an absolute pleasure to now welcome to the show the importer and the supplier of top fresh truffles and caviars, the founder of Ital Touch here in the region. It is Massimo, a.k.a. the Truffle Man Vidoni, joining us live on the line from Tokyo. Morning to you, Massimo.
Good morning, Tom, and everybody there at Dubai Eye. Sorry for yesterday. I was on the plane and at the night flight, and I just landed when I saw all your messages. So here I am. Well,
I was going to say buongiorno this morning, but maybe I should say konnichiwa this morning. I mean, first and foremost, let's clear up.
Why are you gozaimasu, they say here. Yes.
Why on earth are you in Tokyo? Why in Japan?
I have two business meetings with two importers in Osaka and Tokyo. So being also holiday season for Dubai, and I took my family with me to do 2 weeks. So we join vacation and pleasure and business.
Lovely jubbly. Well, first and foremost, you are over there. Everyone's talking about you over here at the moment. Articles in Bloomberg, articles in the national newspaper yesterday. A lot of this driven by this assumption at the moment, Massimo, that there is more demand for luxury commodities like truffles here in Dubai across the UAE. Is that the case?
Yes, it's definitely the case. I noticed that it's from COVID time, it's almost increasing monthly and by year almost double respect to what it was when I arrived here. Also, most of the restaurants are... I'm having 3-4 items with truffle and caviar now on the menu. It's very, very rare to find a place that doesn't have any. And there is demand. People likes it and became more accessible. The price went down also on certain items, so it's more accessible and people actually like truffle. Thank God.
Why are we seeing this demand rise at the moment, Massimo? Is it to do with the fact there are more restaurants here? Is it to do with the fact that allegedly there's more wealth coming into the country?
It's a combination of both. Also, most of the restaurant, they strive to have the best ingredients. And so when you make a good pasta, if you add truffle, you add value, and therefore you also have more spending from the part of the client. And that's what the restaurateur is looking for. to maximize the sales. So instead to sell something where you have a jam of marmalade, let's say, with a piece of bread, if you put some truffle on it or some truffle oil, you can charge probably more, and therefore you have more profit.
What about the supply chain at the moment? I know that you and your team, you know, you're very keen on sourcing only the very best products from Europe. Are you having an issue with supply?
No. There's been an issue because the weather, because the season this year, the price were almost double respect last year because they found about one third of the production of the year. That is due to very little rain during the summer, and therefore the spores then activate the truffle, which are wild. There were about 60-70% less truffle this year. I'm talking about white truffle. And so it keep going, and the production is being reduced, and therefore more truffle, because right now truffle are sought not only in Dubai, there's a big surge on demand, but also in Asia, in country than before, what can I say, before European city, London, New York, Paris. London, Paris, New York now has always been high demand. But now Seoul want truffle, Tokyo want truffle, Jakarta want truffle, Singapore, Bangkok is asking for truffle. Because the globalization and chefs from Europe and the top chef learn to do multi-cuisine, and these fusion restaurants are using almost the same ingredients in everywhere, in every cuisine. So top restaurant, if you take Michelin star or 50 best restaurant all over the world, 90% of truffle or caviar on it.
Give us put a price on it if you can for our listeners and viewers at the moment. You mentioned that there that prices are a little bit favourable, but what is a rare? What's the rarest one? White or the black?
The white one. The white one. Yes.
What's
because nobody found a way to farm it yet.
No one's found a way to farm it. So for a rare white truffle, when you get one of those coming over and you bring it over under lock and key, how much is it selling for per whatever you sell it for, kilo, whatever, gram?
Okay, let's say per kilo was around 40 to 50,000 dirham this year, a retail price, and about 25,000 for a wholesale price. Remember, these items, this truffle are amazing, but they also lose 2 to 3% of their weight and flavor every day. Hmm. So the key is to buy it and have it fresh and have it fly in a way that within 36, 48 hours, you have it on your plate. The more you hold it, the more less price it is, the more light it is, and the less flavorful. So to have the top dishes, people pay to have it fast.
And obviously, you are the truffle man, Massimo, but you're quite right in mentioning that you also provide other, a purveyor of other fine goods as well. Big demand for caviar at the moment?
We say truffle, caviar, and everything nice as a motto. caviar also. Long time ago, it used to be only wild, and now it's farm, and that brought down the price by the kilo, and so it's more consistent, and it's very easy to have it, and so it became a delicacy, more affordable. As for everything else, I have I want to distinguish my team, my Ital Touch. We just merged with a company called Transmed, so we can actually do a copy and paste of what they did in 10 years. Working slowly and start growing really from a small business to more a big company where we can reproduce the success that they had in Dubai, in Saudi. We are targeting India and China. This is the future of the next 5 years.
Listen.
And the other products are vegetables, vinegar, then people don't know anything about it yet.
Yeah.
There is a whole world of other products.
We've got to leave it there, Massimo. Unfortunately, I'll let you get back to the family as well, out of time. Congratulations on the great work at the moment and the good times as well. I know you worked very hard for that one, Massimo Vidoni. Grazie mille and arigato. Thank you very much indeed for everything. Massimo, live there over in Japan, the truffle man of Dubai, the founder of Italtouch.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.